Really appreciate that. You know, it's hard to think. Is it on? It is on. Okay. It's hard to find a lot of good things to say about me, so appreciate Pastor trying his best. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'm very thankful for how God's used this passage. God's been continuing to work in my heart, as he does all of us. And growing in the area, I'll save it for later. Don't want to spoil it. I'll give you something to look forward to. But just God's really been using this passage in Matthew chapter 6 to continue to cause me to evaluate my life. And we all, I believe, as Americans especially, lead very busy lives. And so it's easy to lose focus. So that's a lot of my messages are geared towards refocusing, because that's what I'm dealing with. Because God's directing me to continue to refocus during busy times of life. And so this passage is one of many that God's used to help me to continue to refocus, to evaluate the things in my life. And out of respect for God's word and also out of consideration for you all, we'll go ahead and stand and read verse 33 and 34. Brief verses, I promise, and then you can be seated. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 through 34. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thoughts for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evils thereof," or the evil thereof. But that first phrase, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Thank you. You may be seated. I'll go ahead and pray briefly to ask the Lord to direct my thoughts and my speech as I preach. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the honor and the privilege to share your word. And I pray right now that you'd help me to be mindful of the sermons that have come before me, to just give your word as a servant, to give your word thinking of Christ in a spirit of love. Lord, may this be a time where I just share your words, and may we all be encouraged by what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and so looking at this passage, verse 33, so we dive in right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's about three chapters long in this part of the book, Matthew. So you got two messages on 1 John. Now you're getting to your second message on Matthew. And so we'll be looking at this. And he starts off in the beginning of the chapter where he talks about prayer, giving offerings. So he's dealing, this is Christ speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, dealing about our motivation for how we pray, why we give. Then he moves on, giving us instruction on how to pray. Then he gives us instruction as to treasures. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, verse 19. No man can serve two masters, verse 24. And he talks about, he gives us this promise that God will provide all things for us, right? He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so all these things would include the necessities of life that he's just talked about in this chapter. So he's talked about food, our basic food. He's talked about water. He's talked about clothing, the things that we would consider essentials, right? So he says, God will give you all these things. God will provide for you. Your responsibility is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So God gives us this commission, this charge, this challenge to seek ye first. And I don't know about you, but I'm a very easily distracted person. Probably Aramis could tell you that because I worked with her at Chick-fil-A. So I'm a very easily distracted person. Those who have studied with me in college, like I have to nail myself down to a project because I get easily distracted. I'm a people person, so I like talking. I'm the kind of guy that can walk into a room with a mission, and I walk out with a different mission because something in the room distracted me. And so I walk in, I need something, and I'm like, oh, this needs to be straightened, and I need to fix this. And so that's kind of the way I'm wired. So that's an area that God's been growing me in. And you know, it's easy. I've noticed that oftentimes as we get older, we tend to have more responsibilities. Does that seem fair? You know? It looks like to other people. I've read about it. So I'm getting older. I'm getting more responsibilities. You all have had more experience in that. Bills. You have health needs. You know, just different things that you have to, okay, I have to figure out how to manage life. And we have to prioritize, right? Like that's a part of life, is learning to prioritize. But as Christians, I found that for myself, a danger that I was having was, you know, I want to make sure that I'm prioritizing my life how God prioritizes it. Was, okay, what does God require of me as a Christian? What does God want me to do? And I kept coming back to this verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was talking with a friend, and he said, you know, my temptation is to focus on all these things and to forget to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I just need to think about that, you know, not worry so much about all these things and just trust God to take care of it. But we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God, to have his priorities. And you know, this priority of seeking first the kingdom of God comes before our necessities. It comes before even our basic food, our basic water. God says, all these things will be added unto you. You just worry about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says it takes priority over all our necessities. The priority is to be on the spiritual. You know, really everything in life is spiritual. It affects us some way, to God or away from God. I believe that. Every decision is spiritual. God's created it that way. So we need to prioritize. And the first thing I hear this passage, seek ye first the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. Okay, so that's order, right? God's order, God's will, God's purpose, his plan. We need to seek first what he wants, what his plan is. We need to seek first, what would God have me to do? And his righteousness, and who would be the perfect example of God's righteousness? Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can say it. It's perfectly fine. I won't be offended. Jesus Christ is our example. We've been so thankful for the messages Sunday morning. Christ is our example. Christ is our righteousness. As we get saved, God looks on us and he doesn't see my sin. He doesn't even look at my attempts at righteousness, which can't be righteousness. But he sees, if I've trusted in Christ, he sees the righteousness of Christ on me. So I'm thankful for that. And so as we continue to live, we need to continue to follow in that pattern that Christ set before us. So seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And looking at this, I was reading through this chapter and was just impressed by three different questions, revealing questions that this chapter has, and I'll go through these quickly, that help us to evaluate if our priorities are where they should be, to see if we really are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first question is, where is your heart? Verse 19 through 21. I encourage you to look there. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And you can go ahead and say this last verse with me, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so this reveals, where is our heart? Where is our priorities? Well, where is your treasure? What are you working for? As we look through this, are you laboring for the eternal or the temporal? And these are things that I'm evaluating. We had a message preached at the beginning of the semester where Dr. Loader, many of you know Dr. Loader, who's preached here before, I think before Pastor Finney came, and he preached a message on labor not for the meat that perisheth, out of the passage where Christ is saying that. You know, we need to be laboring for the eternal. Your treasures determine where your heart is. Where are you laboring? Where are you pouring yourself into? Into the responsibilities that God's given us as fathers, as mothers. You know, I'm not there yet, but that's a commission that God's given us. You know, as Christians, you know, doing what I need to do, you know, where are you expending your effort? You know, the Great Commission, you know, the commission to give the gospel, also the commission to disciple. Are we following God's plan? So just evaluating, where is our heart? So that involves our labor. Not just our labor, but we look at earlier in the chapter where he's talking about prayer, and he says, pray not as the Pharisees, for they have their reward. And he mentions that, I think, three different times in this chapter. About motivation, verse 2, 5, and 16, he's talking about our motivation. So not just doing what's right, but like what is our heart? Where is my heart? How am I serving God? With what heart am I serving God? Is it really for God? Where is our heart? Are we laying up treasures for heaven? All right, and then second would be the question as to seeing if our priorities are really in line as Christians is, who is your master? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon has that idea of riches, right, as we look through that verse. And so the truth in this is, you will serve someone in life. We will serve someone. And another truth is, we can't serve two masters. And so if we're not serving God, we're serving someone. There's possibilities of things that could come in the place of God, of the devil. We could serve the devil. We learned about this morning. We don't have to be enslaved to the devil, but we could still serve him. It's a voluntary choice. We're not enslaved to him, but we can still serve as the child of the devil, right? We can do things that are more becoming of someone who's unsaved, or we can serve God. We can serve sin. We can give in to sin. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And a lot of these, I found, really came down to me serving myself. It wasn't that I wanted to serve the devil. I wouldn't admit to that. It wasn't that I wanted to serve sin, but it was just something that I wanted to do. It was self-centered. And you know, really, every sin can be boiled down. Most sins. There are the sins of ignorance that the Bible talks about, that God gives provision for those. But oftentimes, sin really boils down to idolatry even, where I know what God said, and I choose what I want over what God says that he wants. That's serious. It's a serious thing. It's priorities that are out of whack because we're not serving the right master. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." You know, Peter says, Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I was actually going to mention this. My brother mentioned this. We both got this from Dad, who did the study. But ought means you owe it. You literally owe it to obey God rather than men. It's not that we go looking for a conflict. You know, I'm not telling you anything new. But we owe it to God to serve him. God is our standard. And it's God that tells us to be subject to the higher authorities. Romans 13. We're to serve God rather than man. And I classify as a man. So I'm to serve God over myself. I fit in that statement. So like that's the temptation for me to say, oh, I need to serve God rather than man, but then I don't apply that same thing to myself. I fit in that. I'm not to be self-serving. And oftentimes I was finding my life was self-serving. Even our Christian growth can be self-serving as we focus on ourselves instead of focusing on the service that we heard just minutes ago. So who is your master? And you know, oftentimes we can justify sin, and in our justifying of sin, we really miss the fact that we're dethroning God in our life. When we start to consider sin, even just considering it, even justifying it, we lose fact that we're dethroning God in our life, that we're taking him away from being master, and replacing him with something that is infinitely superior, infinitely lower than God. And so let's make sure that our master is God, that we're serving God with all our heart. So where is your heart? Who's your master? And then finally, whom do you trust? Verse 25 through 32. I'm not going to read all these verses for sake of time, but he says, "Therefore I say unto you," verse 25, "take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And so he goes on. These are necessities, right? These are concerns that we could have. I got to eat somehow. As men, as you're providing for your families, look, I have to make sure that, and you think, I have to make sure that my family has food, has drink. I have to make sure the bills are paid, that the car runs, that my children have something to wear. Like, those are concerns. And inflation is something that's real. And so those are concerns. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And so whom will you trust? You know, God will provide. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a promise. You know, trust in God. And oftentimes I feel like we can't seek first the kingdom of God because that involves a lot of trust. You know, I would put the kingdom of God first. I would put the things of God first, but I have to make sure that I'm providing for these needs. Well, if we put the priorities and the order that God says to put them in, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will make sure that he'll help us with those other things. All these things shall be added unto you. That's God's promise. So if you trust God, you can then adjust your priorities. That includes tithe. You know, I don't make that much money. How can I give 10% to God? You know, that's, you know, 10%, that's like half of what I make. I'm from Tennessee. So, apologize. All right. So, tithing, you know, trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But if I do that, trust in the Lord. You know, and God says to give your first fruits, not the leftover fruits. You know, I'll give him the 10%. We'll make sure it comes off the top. You know, God says the first fruits. And so trust in him. And that helps us to seek first the kingdom of God. As we trust in him, we can say, okay, because God wants me to give, I can give. Church attendance. God says I should assemble. So if I'm trusting in God, but I have to work on Sundays. I don't think any of you are in that category because you're here. But, you know, like that could be something. I've talked with people recently, some people that have just gotten saved in our church. You know, I wish I could be there Sunday night, but I have a lot of papers. They go to a university across the street. I have a lot of papers. And, you know, I would like to be there, but, you know, I have to, you know, I had a lot of fun over Thanksgiving. Now I have to, you know, work on papers on Sunday, so I can't be at church. Well, if we put God's priorities first, he'll work those out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we go to church. We obey the Lord, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. And as we do that, as we trust the Lord, you know, God's plan always works. Obedience works. Obedience to God's standard, the Bible, works. God promises it does. And so we need to make sure that we're keeping ourselves in line with his priorities. First, you know, we're called to be Christians. Each one of us, we're called first to be Christians. I think I'm going to try to, I don't know exactly the quote, but I heard that Pensacola's motto used to be, we're Christians first. I don't know if that's what I heard. So, but that's a good motto to live by. We're to be Christians first. You know, no matter what vocation you may have, no matter what job you may have, no matter what concerns you may have, we're called to be Christians first. That's the priority. Second, for those of you who are married, we're called to be spouses second. To put the needs of our spouses next. I'm not in that category, but a lot of you are. Maybe even half of you are in that category. Husband, your second priority is to your wife. Wives, your second priority apart from God is your husband, to submit to him. Third, we're called to be parents. Now, just think about that order. I guess you could argue that we're called to be children first because we're born as children. But thinking about, you know, from a college person's perspective or from maybe a parent's perspective, the family's supposed to be third, not the job, you know. And the children do come after the spouse. Fourth, we're called to be, you know, members in the body. We're called to be part of the church, to function together as a body. And I've grown so much in this church because this church does function that way. Because we're called together, not just to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but our purpose is to center around God's word in Hebrews 10, and then to encourage each other in God's word. That's part of the purpose of the church. And that's part of the reason that I've grown here in this church, is because that is a focus of this church, to put God's word first and to encourage each other therein, in God's word. And so we're called to be these things. So just in way of application, finishing up, just some things that God helped me in just evaluating, is what gets your time? So we've talked about, okay, the master, who's the master of your life? It should be God. We've talked about, What are you laying up? Are you laying up treasures in heaven or on earth? We should have a heart that's a heavenly heart. It's laying up things in heaven. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3. So, what gets your time? Are you able to spend time in devotions? So that was one of the biggest things I learned my first year of college. I didn't have a devotion life, really, before my freshman year of college. I had moments where I'd read my devotions, but not every morning. And that's the lifeline for the Christian, is the devotion time, where God speaks to you, where you're getting fed in God's word every day. And our devotion time, like tithing, is really like the first fruits of our time, where we give God the first of our day. It's an incredible thing. I love the quote from John Bunyan I came across recently, and where he says, He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Many of you have maybe seen that quote before. It's a serious thing. I love Isaiah. I didn't write down the reference, but Isaiah chapter 26, where he's talking about that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. As you go down through the passage, he says, in the night, my soul hath desired thee in the night, and with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. So it's like it's the bookends of our day. We need to be seeking God with the first fruits of our time and devotions. At the end of the day, before we go to bed, the last thing on our mind should really be God's word. You know, that's probably where I struggle more so now. I'm getting my devotions in the morning, but we need to be people of God's word. You know, we need to be in God's word. And then thinking about, you know, do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend time with family? Deuteronomy 6:7, you know, talks about when you sit down, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you rise up, teaching our kids, teaching the children of this church and our children's ministries. In the home, though, you know, it takes a lot of time when you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you lie down, when you rise up. That's like nonstop teaching, nonstop instructing, encouraging, helping to grow. Do we spend time in the priorities that God has given us and trust God with the rest? Priorities in church, I've already mentioned. Priorities in my speech. Am I going to talk more about God or what I want to talk about? You know, am I going to make my desire what God wants me to talk about when we come to church? Talking about the things of God, what God has been teaching me throughout the week, not just what the weather's been like. You know, not just about maybe some temporal things I got done during the week, but things that are eternal. I feel like oftentimes I come to church and I miss it. I miss the blessing that God has for me because I'm so focused on the temporal. And I encourage on a temporal level instead of coming to church wanting to see, well, what are my brothers and sisters, you know, what are they doing for God? You know, how is God growing them? How can I encourage them to grow for God? You know, that service. Well, let's make God's priorities the priority. So I'm gonna just close with that. And each of the messages that we've heard, really, my encouragement is just to encourage their message. My sermon is to encourage their messages. The first message that we heard, you know, Christ. Christ is our standard. The doctrine, we should check it by Christ. We're supposed to love as Christ loved. We're supposed to believe on Christ and to love like Christ did. We're supposed to serve as Christ, be humble as Christ, with Christ as the priority. Christ is our standard of living. You know, we're supposed to set our priorities as God set. And closing with Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I just want to close with that phrase, but seek ye first. To keep our priorities where God keeps his priorities. And trust God with the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your word, just the encouragements and the messages that I've heard tonight. And I pray that you'd help us to continue to put first what you put first, to have first things first. I thank you so much for your word and for my brothers and sisters here who have encouraged me to put first things first. And I pray that you'd help us to continue. In Jesus' name.